Today on Wings, the intersectional feminism of Affirm.
On a daily basis, colonialism, capitalism, and imperialism, these are lived realities for women of color in this country.
When someone asked me what I thought about the publicly finally listening, and not just listening, but with compassion and believing our stories, they asked me what my response was to this. And to be honest, my response was, it's about goddamn time.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Cheering in solidarity. My name is Ivy Kitcho, and I am the national chairperson of Affirm, an all-volunteer, transnational feminist, anti-imperialist organization of women of color and of survivors. I am here in front of you, quite literally, because my activist organizing has saved my life. I was a victim of child sexual abuse starting at the age of 2, a victim of rape at the age of 15 by someone I knew, not necessarily a rich, powerful public predator, and a victim of intimate partner physical violence as an adult, not to mention all the other forms of structural violence that come with being a woman of color, specifically an Asian Pacific Islander, daughter of Filipino immigrant parents, and growing up in poor working class neighborhoods in a country that has intentionally stacked the odds against me. As a survivor, there have been many times that I wanted to give up, from the exhausting daily demeaning thoughts that prevent you from doing simple tasks like getting out of bed, to the terrifying panic attacks from flashbacks, to the nightly jaw clenching and hip tightness, because our body parts hold sadness, not just from today, but generations past. But sisters, I am here today to tell you that because of my 13 years of organizing and Affirm has provided me the one thing that pushes me forward, the one thing that gets me up every single day when I have suicidal thoughts, the one thing that pushes me to keep on track, and that is hope. We in Affirm are here to tell all the women of color, black, brown, yellow, indigenous, trans women, each and every woman of color like me, that we see you. This is our commitment to you. We will do what our ancestors had done and taught us for centuries. We will get back up every time with even more seething rage. We will resist every twisted tactic they may throw at us, and we will fight with every last drop of strength we have left until genuine liberation is ours. The hashtag MeToo movement exposes on a mainstream level what has been happening to women, particularly women of color, for centuries. 4,500 years ago, patriarchy was created when we women became the first form of property. Rape culture didn't just come out of nowhere. It was born out of what we in Affirm call the perceived patriarchal entitlement to women's bodies. For centuries, access to women of color's bodies in particular has been expected. And this belief has been given life through colonization, when our bodies and land were ravished. Through capitalism, when our bodies became commodified for prostitution. Through imperialism and war and military, when we were sold on a large scale for what has become the global sex trade. From the online mail order bride system, to institutionalized red light districts, to the attempts at legalizing prostitution. Sisters, while this has been happening to us for all this time, what Trump, What those sexists, what those misogynists, what those fascists who uphold patriarchy seem to forget is that we are still here and we are not going anywhere. When someone asked me what I thought about the publicly finally listening, and not just listening, but with compassion and believing our stories, they asked me what my response was to this. And to be honest, my response was, it's about goddamn time. Now is the time that society stops normalizing harassment, assault, and rape as a private, everyday occurrence that used to be acceptable. This shit was never acceptable. And what we talk about, when we talk about sexual assault and rape, we have to talk about it as a way to dehumanize in order to amass power and control. This is not about sex addiction. This is about amassing power and control over women and our communities that we oversee. Now is the time that we see how these recent acts of terror are all connected. It is no coincidence that from Charlottesville to Las Vegas to Texas, the common denominator is and has been domestic violence. We are living in an era of fascism that relies on the subjugation of women. To end violence on our communities, we must end violence against women. Now is the time that when we talk about sexual harassment of rich, famous actresses in Hollywood, we also talk about the marginalized voices, including Native Americans who've experienced sexual assault at more than double than any other population. We must talk about the sexual assault and murder of our homeless trans sisters, not just by the everyday person, but by killer cops who are hired to protect us when in fact they inflict the violence on our people, particularly our Black community. Now is the time that we not only talk about assault of white-collar professionals, but that we center the experience of undocumented women, Filipina domestic workers who are raped by their captive employers, of immigrant women from Mexico who get sexually assaulted several times en route as they cross the border. That we talk about the experience of our Middle Eastern sisters, also known as Southwest Asia, North Africa sisters, who face Islamophobia on top of the sexual assault. It's time that we talk about the trafficked, prostituted Asian women in massage parlors who are sexually exploited and must be decriminalized while stopping the legislation and legalization of a system predicated on the sale of rape. Now is the time that we talk about accountability and what that is and what that looked like, and while simultaneously demanding accountability of individuals who perpetuate the hate and the violence, such as resignation, such as apologies, we must also demand that these systems that breed violence and patriarchy also be dismantled, including ICE, including the prisons, including Trump, who is in office. Sisters, today I challenge you to practice a feminism that is revolutionary. Let us go beyond building a sisterhood rooted in suffering and build a sisterhood rooted in societal transformation. Let us continue to share our stories to demand justice and accountability, but let us also actively work on dismantling the structures and the culture of rape that breeds this violence so that future generations will not only not know rape, will not only not know sexual assault, but they will never know the concept of violence against our people. Most importantly, let us be bold in our dreaming of liberation and reimagine what justice could look like, taste like, feel like. Perhaps it isn't just demanding individual accountability in Hollywood. Perhaps it is ensuring marginalized women of color hold positions in every power level in the film and industry. Perhaps it isn't just demanding resignation of those who assault in academia, but it is demanding that the type of material taught in schools and universities also include exercises to unlearn patriarchy. Perhaps it isn't just electing more marginalized women and peoples into office, it is changing how those offices function, giving more power to the people. Sisters, we are our target for one reason and one reason alone. because they fear our collective power and growing movement. We are still here and we are not going anywhere. And what we in Affirm say, a woman's place is not in the home, it's not in the kitchen, it's not in the bedroom. A woman's place is here in the streets, at the helm of the struggle for liberation of all people. Now I want you to chant with me so that all of Hollywood and all the tourists can hear us. When women and children are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. When women and children are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Thank you.
That was Ivy Kitcho, the national chair of Affirm, speaking at the Me Too Survivors March in Hollywood on Sunday, November 12, 2017. Affirm, spelled AF numeral 3 IRM, grew out of a transnational solidarity organization of Filipinas in the U.S. Last week on Wings, you heard the original organizer, Ninochka Roska, describe Affirm as both transnational and intersectional, meaning it works against three forces oppressing women of color: race, class, and patriarchy.
For us, it is understanding our place as a nodal point of interlocking systems of oppression, race, gender, and class.
Here is the remainder of Ninochka Roska's interview with Megan Murphy of FeministCurrent.com.
On a daily basis, colonialism, capitalism, and imperialism, these are lived realities for women of color in this country. And so we understand that. But I know we like to talk about the weaknesses of the liberal feminism and what we call white feminism and so on. But I'm great friends with Gloria Steinem. And even she would say, it's not a question of getting a bigger slice of the pie, but rather baking a whole new pie altogether. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's impossible. You cannot attain gender equality where there are class and race divisions. That's why we say interlocking systems of oppression. Now, this kind of blindness is conversely reflected in the left when they talk about class and nothing but class and do not see the other systems that keep people marginalized and exploited. So those are the things. I think in the United States, class is very rarely used in political analysis, because, you know, the slogan is out of the many, one. But if you do class analysis, you divide. You say out of the one, many.
In the wake of Donald Trump's win, some leftists have argued for inclusivity and unity, and, you know, which are nice ideas. And certainly, you know, if we're going to fight these incredible powers, we need to have solidarity and work together. But considering the deep divisions and conflicts among leftists and between leftists and feminists, do you think those goals are even possible or worthwhile? You know, how could we possibly accomplish that?
I do not know. We're trying, really. We're trying so very hard. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. We have a multi-ethnic constituency, and the community needs of our constituency are sometimes different and sometimes, you know, the same. But the expression of those needs, you have to navigate the difference in the expressions of those needs, how they are brought forward, you know, by the women of specific communities. It's hard, I must admit. Mm-hmm. But I think we should do, this is my view, personal, we should do what guerrillas do. Guerrillas are small formations, deeply rooted in towns and villages, but when they have to attack a major formation, they come together. And then afterwards, they go back to being their own formations in their own locations. And I think that's what we should do politically, you know, come together to address macro issues, but disperse when it comes to micro issues. Mm-hmm. It's just a tactical theory that I'm thinking of. I don't know if it will work.
What do you think, what are some other concrete things that you think leftists and feminists should be doing right now and what they should be focusing on right now to counter the racism, misogyny, the neo-fascism supported by the Trump presidency?
I think what is seriously lacking is the link between racism and sexism. I do not see it, you know. They have already noted that all of these white men who march, the neo-Nazi formations, these are actually middle-class white males, okay? So we understand the class aspect to this issue. We understand the racism embedded in the issue, but the sexism has not surfaced. I think it's very telling that the first death in this growing confrontation is that of a woman, and we should really take that to heart, you know. And this is a woman who was actually working as a paralegal, meaning helping those who are in conflict with the justice system in this country.
The woman Ninochka Roska refers to here is Heather Heyer, who died when a car rammed into a group of people protesting against a Torchlight Unite the Right rally held in Charlottesville, Virginia, August 12, 2017. Roska was speaking to Megan Murphy shortly after this event. Roska is a founder of the transnational feminist organization AFFIRM.
AFFIRM recently advocated for what the organization calls a return to the foundational ideas of American feminism, concepts and wisdom drawn from tribal societies, particularly the Iroquois. What does that mean? Like, what are those foundational ideas? Where do they come from?
I think because I'm Filipina, I'm kind of fatalist. So this started about, I think, almost 4 years ago when Sylvia McAdam of Idle No More came to New York, and we hosted her public lecture. And this was so fascinating for us because we were at the time studying socialist economic formation. And we realized that so far the extant model uses capitalist production organization for socialism. And we saw this in the USSR, and we saw this in China, and we saw the results. If you want to create socialist values in a socialist way of life, why, how do you organize your production so that it reflects those values? That was the main question. And so we started studying tribal societies because we were curious as to how gender and not having private ownership of the means of production come together to create a viable society that is not exploitative of women. We're still studying it. And then we realized that the history of the United States began actually with the same curiosity on the part of the pioneers of the women's movement here. That was the first. And the second was we got tired of being told we are being influenced by Western feminism or that feminism is from the West. Oh my goodness, I mean, like, I'm Filipina. 1907 we had Asociacion Feministas de las Filipinas, you know, 1907. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The women had been struggling since the beginning of time. We may not have called ourselves feminists, but women have been fighting for rights, social, political, and economic. So we're still studying, and we hope to deepen our learning. Today, actually, I was very happy to have received confirmation that Pura Fe is coming to our summit. She is a very well-known singer, performer, First Nations. She lives in Saskatchewan. She will be speaking on women in the tribal culture. She just launched a new project called the Ulali Project. This is a quartet of female singers singing a cappella all the native songs of North America, Canada and the United States. And they are working on water songs, which I thought was quite fascinating. I mean, in contrast to the constant, you know, cultural products of capital and imperialism, which is always about sex, money, woman, blah, 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 you know, and then there are all these traditions about water, land, soil, and so on. Every 2 years we have a summit, and there are always two aspects to the summit. One is public and one is private. The private one involves all the members, or at least the leadership of the various chapters of AFIRM meet and lay out the direction, programs, you know, actions for the next 2 years. So we're doing that, the private one. And then the public conference is actually launching our new theoretical thrust, you know, and also gathering information from those who will attend on how to deal with the current situation, because this is really a very bad situation we're in now. So one of the things we're going to tackle at the summit is the issue of prostitution, because mm-hmm. we come from countries where there are huge sex industries, you know, as a result of colonialism, occupation, and imperialism. I know this is a very contentious subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, which is surprising, I guess, that that would be such a contentious subject within feminism, because the sex trade is something that seems like an obvious thing to oppose as a political movement that is opposed to exploitation, to misogyny, to racism.
The liberation of sexuality is what comprises feminism, but nobody looks at what that liberation entails or how it is defined under capital. You mentioned the cosmetic industry and so on and blah, blah, blah. All of these are like accessories to the major contention that men have a right to have sexual access on the bodies of the female, the young, the poor, the vulnerable, the powerless, basically. See, it's the coercive demand that we use a kind of playboy philosophy to define feminism. And so this is one of the things that we really have to study, not only study, but oppose Our position is very clear. We are for the decriminalization of those who practice prostitution. But we are for the criminalization of those who do the business of prostitution, meaning where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who profit, who benefit from the sale of bodies. It is a very contentious issue because we understand that there are very poor sections who have to resort to this, you know, to survive. They call it survival prostitution, for instance, and I say all prostitution is survival prostitution. Not only economically, but sometimes spiritually.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for all your incredible work. And I learned so much from Affirm's work also. So I'm really grateful. And I know that a lot of women are as well.
Thank you. We just hope to contribute a little bit, you know, whatever we can to the women's movement. We're quite aware that the movement is huge and vast. And we're only a very small part of it. But we will work to add as much as we can.
I've been meaning to interview you for a long time, so I'm glad that we finally got around to it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm very flattered. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You just heard an interview with feminist activist and prolific writer Ninochka Roska. For more on her work, visit ninochkaroska.com. And to learn more about Affirm, visit Affirm, that's AF3IRM.org. That is all the time we have for today. I'm Megan Murphy. Thanks for tuning in to Feminist Current.
That interview with Affirm founder Ninochka Roska first appeared on FeministCurrent.com in August of 2017. In addition to being an organizer, Roska is a celebrated writer of fiction and nonfiction. Her books include Endgame, State of War, The Monsoon Collection, and Twice Blessed. You also heard the national chair of Affirm, Ivy Kitcho, speaking at the Me Too Survivors March in Hollywood on Sunday, November 12, 2017. Here she is again.
Now I want you to chat with me so that all of Hollywood and all the tourists can hear us. When women and children are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. When women and children are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Thank you.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our new searchable website, wingsradio.org. Thank you to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Mindy Ran, Michelle Schuler, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.